Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna A little louder, please, if possible. Yes. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Rama. One more time if possible. Hare Krishna. Where are you? Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna. Please a little louder. Yes. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we will chant more, but I request you to be really focused. Often only this part chants, and this part and that part is mum, silent, muted, and so on. So we will sing again. When we sing without instruments, we have to really focus and bring our mind and heart to it. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one more time, all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one last time, all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para. Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha. Radha Gopinatha, 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 Radha Hare Krishna. Shijuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savathutam Marijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitansha Hare Krishna. I want to welcome all of you affectionately for the second part. In the first part, which we did yesterday, we spoke, amongst other things, about faith, increasing our faith. Remember, we had this example. And although in one way the glass was half full or half empty, it was a question how you take it. In another sense, the glass is always full, that is, with water and with air. So our life should be able to accommodate both the happiness and the sadness, the distress and the exaltation, the day and the night. If we only look for the so-called good, we will be overwhelmed with its opposite and not know what to do. Remember this? How did you think? Did you think about it a little bit? No, we just listen, Maharaj. We don't think. We are from London. This is something you need to contemplate, come to grips, to grasp with. And next time you are failing your examinations, next time you have toothache, you can remember that that this is part of life, and there is no need to be sad, but a need to embrace all of it. We also spoke about the chanting of the holy name. Does anyone of you remember the Isha formula? I think you do. Yes, he is our devotee. Yes. Intention. Sincerity.
Attention.
And attention. This means before we chant, we sit down and have this intention to chant good rounds. Did you do this today? Some of you did. Did you see that it brought you to another level? You. So of this is 99% of my audience didn't do what they heard yesterday. This is a problem. It's the problem which I have seen again and again in my life and in the life of my listeners. They listen to something that makes sense to them, but they don't apply it. And then it is heard today and gone tomorrow. No? We will talk about this. My dear devotees, I'm not complaining with you. You are a wonderful audience. This is not the point. I'm trying to bring you to another understanding. This may be a difference between me and other teachers,
I am a very a teacher who's close to life and who wants to give his audience an experience and so on. It is, I know for some of you this is a disturbing teacher, but I take great pride in shaking you a little bit. So good. Today, my dear devotees, we will hear about the second wing that will help you to fly. Or, in a less poetic word, there are two important principles for your spiritual advancement. The first is the chanting of the holy name, but the second principle is the regular reading and absorbing of the text of the Bhagavatam. That's why you see in temples there is usually a morning class based on the Bhagavatam. We take one verse and then we unpack it. This is important to do, not only for devotees who live in the temple, but also for devotees who are outside the temple. You need two, in German language you say Lungenflügel, that is two wings of the lung. How do we say it in English? Two parts of the lung, yeah, left and right. But even with one part of the lung, you can somehow live. There are people who have only one part of the lung working. But if you want to excel, if you want to fly, you need a second. You can't just do with the holy name. And therefore, a second example is given. For the bird to rise over the fields, to throw itself into the morning mist, and then rise above the mist and the clouds, the bird requires two wings. One wing will not do. So in sadhana, in spiritual practice, yes, we need the contact with Krishna in his most accessible form, the holy name. However, we also require the second wing. That is, we need to understand the eternal teachings of the Bhagavatam, which raises our attention, our knowledge, our understanding beyond. Oh yeah, oh, thank you. You are a master of microphones. You would say, no, it was very simple. You are a master in forgetting how to speak into microphones, you can say to me. you require the daily, my God, function of the intelligence, which is strengthened by reading in the Bhagavatam. There is a very interesting section in the Bhagavatam. It's the beginning. And it describes a transition of ages. There was one age, and now it has come to the end, and the Kali Age begins. So it is, we hear from other sources that the personality of Kali, that person who gets into our heart and mind and impels us to do materialistic activities. He's the ruler of this age. He's known Kali Maharaj, no? The great king Kali rules the Kali Yuga. He wanted to come into the atmosphere of the earth and start its age, but he couldn't come. Do you know why he was held back? I think you know it was Krishna was still on the planet. And as long as Krishna is on the planet, Kali cannot be there. In Hindu language, you have this: when you have Ram, there is no calm. No, some Hindi song is there. When there is Ram, there is no calm. Then some Bollywood music in the background. But it's true. When there's the Lord in the heart, then lust and anger and all these things cannot take their seat. So when Krishna was still on the planet, Kali Yuga could not enter. But the moment Krishna left and went towards the spiritual world, Kali knew, soon I can enter the age of quarrel and I can rule over everything. But as Krishna ascended, he looked back and he knew the world would be lost to Kali unless he created something which in Sanskrit is called a pratinidhi form, a representative. So it is described at that time, manifested from his heart, the Bhagavatam. And all those who in the age of Kali are intelligent enough to take shelter in the Bhagavatam will not be affected by Kali. There's a verse to this effect. Dharma. Oh, it starts with Dharma. Dharma. Yeah. Krishna Svadharma Parate Dharma Gyana. If we can have the verse, our Nishchint Kinshan will contact quickly the internet and it will be there. There is a beautiful verse which describes this. Would you like to know it?
Yes, please.
Yeah, good. Yes. Krishna svadamupagate dharma jnana ribisa kalo nashta drishamesha puranakt kodunodita. This Bhagavat Purana, or Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, when he went accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So please remember, Krishna has his eternal Dharma or abode, and he is going to this eternal abode where he enjoys transcendental pastimes together with his eternal eternal associates. So from this abode Krishna descends to reclaim the fallen souls and so on. And he does this either in person or in manifesting a representative form that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much. My dear devotees, if every day you can read one verse of the Bhagavatam, in some scriptures it says even half a verse or one letter, you can be equipped with that knowledge, but also with that inner strength that is required to carry you beyond the temptations of Kali Maharaj. If you do not read in the Bhagavatam, there is a great chance that your intelligence will be bewildered and you will fall prey to Kali and his different representatives. So therefore in the scriptures it says Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevan. By taking shelter in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees who can explain the Bhagavatam to you, all what is inauspicious in the heart, all your worries, your miseries, your despair will go, because it is Sumangalam, very auspicious to hear from the Bhagavatam. How should we approach the transcendental scriptures and read it? For those who take notes, this is now the time where your notes will be all like barren of gold. You know, barren, or is it bars of gold? The first thing, this is from the Bhagavatam, second chapter. If you want to have the benefit of Bhagavatam, you must listen nityam or regularly. I always give an example. I'm a water drinker, in case you have a question what this is water. Gokrishna made this in the morning. We have a kettle with us in the room. It is a kettle from England, as far as I have studied. And in order to make this water hot, my dear everyone, there has to be a steady, uninterrupted and non-disturbed influx or presence of electricity. Then the water will become warm, warmer, hot, and boiling hot. Your consciousness is also like this. If you have a regular influence regular input of the Bhagavatam in your life, your consciousness will become elevated, more elevated, and most elevated. Yes. But it must be regular. If for some reason there is a power cut or there is some electrical failure, and the electricity does not come, the water will become warm, but then again it will go back to its original coolness, room temperature. It's like this with your consciousness. Unless there is a regular input, daily, very much daily, the understanding which has been elevated for some time can again slip back into the normal function. This is because in this world there is this constantly and annoyingly working principle of deterioration. No? Temperature will become cool. Your knowledge will become frozen first, and then it will wane and disappear due to the laws of material nature. Therefore, a regular listening to the Bhagavatam is important, even if you do only one verse or half a verse. Just the contact with the life via of the Bhagavatam is okay. Nityam. The next point, how the scripture should be read, is with Shraddha, some little amount of faith. You should be open. You should not you should be open to get new information. You should not offhand very quickly reject an information which you cannot understand. You should think in theory, let me listen. I may not understand, but after some time everything is becoming clear. I remember once Prabhupada gave a lecture of a particularly interesting, if not controversial, part of the Bhagavatam. He talked about huge birds who are flying from planet to planet. You know, they're coming, they're flying. And in the midst, when they're between planets, they poop an egg. Do you say poop an egg, or it comes out of the behind? It's not directly pooping. Hatch, or what is it called? They release an egg. And now, listen, now it gets really esoteric. The egg will fly, and due to the friction with the air, it will hatch, and the little bird will come out and fly. So at the end of the lecture, one listener invariably or unavoidably, it couldn't be avoided, raised his hand, Prabhupada, how is it possible that there is huge birds flying from planet to planet, and then they release the egg, and by the friction with the air, it hatches? I mean, between planets there is no air. There can be no friction. It is an empty atmosphere. Would you like to hear Prabhupada's answer? He said, what do you know? You are still in the womb of your mother. If he would have given a Bengali expression, he would have said, you still have the milk of your mother in your mouth. That's how you say in Bengal when someone is a little back. Words. So, Prabhupada indicated that there are things which we may not be able to understand. I want to tell you something which happened to me yesterday evening. It was a long day for me. I was exhausted, and I somehow had the feeling, which I also had the last and my last visit, that there is someone around, and his he was not very happy that I'm in the room. So, okay, yesterday I go back into my room, I get into my sleeping gamsha, and before I go to bed, I take the garland and take it away. I open one of the windows and I throw it so that it lands on the wall. Because in the night, sometimes flowers attract these little bugs and then they are all over you, so I did not wish it. But because I was tired, I didn't took aim properly and the garland fell before the wall on the ground. So I remembered that garlands, these are usually flowers that are first offered to Krishna, should not touch the ground. So I went out of the door, went out of the door of the house, and I came to the wall to pick the garland up and place it on the wall. And as I'm coming up, I hear a voice, come here. It was a little spooky voice. It was not the voice of a human being, but this being, whatever it was, communicated in human language. It was a ghost. I could immediately experience it, and I took my torchlight and pointed it. I had gone with the torchlight under the tree to try to see if there was someone there. But of course, ghosts don't have a gross body like you and me. They have a subtle body. I couldn't see them. Come here. I said, said, I have no time for this. I need to go to bed now. Goodbye. Chant Hare Krishna. And I went through the house door, closed the house door behind, went to my room, closed the door. And just to be sure, I never do this, but this time I just turned the key one time around and then a second time. My dear devotees, I couldn't see the being, but I could distinctly hear it and I could feel its desire to meet me and his anger in the voice. So I just So yes, there are things, my dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics, and my dear Londoners. This is a special category of human being, I found out. There are things we can't understand. When Prabhupada said, what do you know? You are still in the womb of your mother. He indicated that this inquirer had a limited understanding. So, when you approach the scriptures, you should bring some initial faith. You should open your heart. You should know there will be subjects which you will not learn in your university classes. There will be subjects of a more subtle nature, and you will understand them later, but now it is not possible. I must tell you, in my own life, there are many, many things which I put on the parking place. My parking place is called Later, and which I have not solved. And over the years, they all became solved by both more knowledge and more experience in life. So this is something I really want to... It's the second point. You should hear with Shraddha. And the third way you should hear is Svacheshtitam. Svacheshtitam means you must make a little endeavor to first of all be attentive and not sleepy. And you must make, when you have spiritual knowledge, a little endeavor to remember and to apply. This is the constant problem which we have with knowledge which we don't have to reproduce for an examination in the school. We don't take it so serious. We don't remember it. We don't recall it. We don't commit it to memory. And this is not how you can make advancement in spiritual life. You must make a svacheshtitam, a little endeavor to at least remain absolutely attentive with chanting, with the spiritual knowledge. These are the ways in which you can attain transcendental knowledge from the Bhagavatam. What was the first? Nityam. What does Nityam mean? Regularly. Mm-hmm. Preferably daily. If it's not possible, regularly. Maybe twice ever. Thrice a week or so. The next item to understand spiritual knowledge is, you must read it with Shraddha, at least some theoretical faith. That, okay, I may not understand everything, but let me have faith, and what I don't understand, I can deal with later. And the last point to read or understand spiritual knowledge is Svacheshtitam. That means you must make an effort to remain attentive, to understand, to grasp the knowledge. These are the three things which the Bhagavatam recommends. The Bhagavatam further says, someone who reads this text in this manner will very soon experience how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifests himself within the canvas of the heart. Hare Krishna. This is the recommendation. I would say this is the key which opens the Bhagavatam for you. When you do these three things, my dear devotees, the Bhagavatam stops to be only a sacred book for you. That's already quite something. But more than that, the Bhagavatam, when it's opened with this key you have just now heard, will open its mysteries or the secret of its understanding to your heart. What do you think? Yes?
Would you recommend doing, say, even, let's say you haven't finished the book yet, would you still recommend reading a verse of Bhagavad Gita?
Oh yeah, you have not finished the Gita yet. What to do then? It's nice to finish the Gita, and I don't know how you are, but when I read two difficult books, these are not books which you read like Asterix and Obelix, you know. Do they have this still? It is available? It is some comics, you know. The Gita is not like this. You have to really sit with it. I would recommend to stay with one book. If you have two difficult texts or texts which you need to penetrate in order to understand, that may be discouraging for you. It's just too much at once to bite. So, yes, so you can also apply these three things when you read the Bhagavad Gita, by the way. They are rules which apply to all spiritual literature. Regularly, with some faith, and with while making an effort not to go deep. Now, when you sit before the text, you need to do a few things in order to digest the subject. What happens if you don't digest? You get constipation. Yeah. There, I think some of you are seriously constipated because, yes, while you may digest the food, you must learn to digest the spiritual knowledge. It's very important. So there are three things which help us to assimilate the text or to digest it and then nourish each cell of our being. The first is simple hearing, that is shravanam. Simple hearing. You just read the scripture. Then after some time you make stop and you do the second process, which is you do mananam, that is, you reflect about it. Therefore, sometimes in Buddha Bhavana Prabhu does this, he says, I want you now to stop and think about it. No, he does this. Yesterday, twice we had to think about something. I thought, Buddha Bhavana, it's so late. All my thinking was done in the morning. But Buddha Bhavana relentlessly challenged us. We had to think about two things. This is very important. There are some things which you can do to prompt your thinking or your reflection. As you stop and you ask yourself the question, how does this relate to my life? How does it speak to me now, where I am at this juncture of my life? You apply it to the present situation. Mananam. And the third thing that helps you to digest, my dear everyone, is something which is called nididhyasana. It could mean deep meditation, or it means more often than not applying the knowledge in your life. My dear devotees, many of us who came to the in contact with the Krishna conscious movement heard about the glories of chanting, but only when we sat down, finally made some time in our busy London schedule, then we were able to apply what we had heard, to live by the instruction, and then it was an entirely other ball game. A total different situation. By applying the knowledge, only you digest it. I would like to give you a very simple image. When you hear a spiritual text, Shravanam, it is like bringing the food to your mouth. You're not yet putting it in the mouth. This is what happens when you hear. When you start to reflect about the subject, you bring the food into your mouth and you begin to chew. But only at the time when you apply the transcendental knowledge, that is like swallowing and digesting the food. What do you think, Niskinchen?
It
makes sense immediately. Do you understand? The problem of many of us is we are hearing, and forgetting. This has to stop. We have to hear and then do something which we don't like to do in London, reflect about it deeply, left and right, what could it mean for my life? And finally, my dear everyone, we have to apply it and in this way digest the knowledge and transform it into energy that nourishes and energizes our entire being from toe to head. Yes? So, three levels of reading. First was Shravanam, just hearing. Reading, by the way, is the same as hearing. You can hear through the eyes, and that is called reading in our culture. No? Why is it the same? Because in both cases, knowledge is taken in. It's an input of knowledge, either through the ears or through the eyes when you read a text. Second step was mananam, that is reflecting about the subject. And the third, nididhyasana, either deep contemplation or application. That's how you learn anything. I once gave a lecture to the teachers of the UK, and I said, do you wish to know the Vedic way of teaching anything? Yes, said the teachers, we want to know new approaches because it's so difficult for us to make the children understand. And I said, well, there are three stages. First is you let them hear. Then you give them something to reflect. You ask them questions, for instance, which they have to answer on the subject. And finally, there is the application of this. I would like, but all this will not be useful to you if you don't learn the most important principle in reading or hearing transcendental subject matter. Are you prepared to hear this? Good. Then let's dive right into it. You can read each day 100 pages of the Bhagavatam. You can have faith in what you read. And you can make an endeavor to learn it, unless you apply the fourth principles, this will be of limited use for you. The fourth principle is undivided attention. There was a very, very difficult family once. A Brahmana who was married and had two children, Gokana and Dundukari. Dundukari, the second child, became such a rascal. He was always visiting prostitutes. He was robbing people who came through the forest. He was really too much. So the father one day left the home, and the other brother, Gokana, went on pilgrimage. It just became totally intolerable to stay near to Dundukari. Do you know people in your life where it's difficult for you to stay with them in the same room? You have such people? I also have. I feel upset. I will not be able to sleep, even though there are two very good beds in the room. If I'm together with so and so, I will withhold the name here. I will just think of, I don't care. I will just run out of the room and I will walk the whole night through the forest, even if it's full of spooky things and if it's cold. I prefer this to staying in the same room with this person. It's not his snoring tendency. It's just the way he is. So, yeah. Name is withheld here. The father left the house and Gokana left the house because of Dundukari's impossible behavior. He also smelled from the armpits because he didn't wash. So then Dundukari felt, now I am alone. He took his poor mother. He took by force the golden rings from her ankles. Then he was beating her because she did not want that her son Dundukari spends the gold of the family for prostitutes and wine. Finally, he took his own mother and he threw her into a dark well. And as she fell, she was screaming in terror. But then she landed, and for 1 hour there was the screaming of the poor woman, and then it stopped. She had died. Have you ever heard such a cruel story? I think it is unprecedentedly cruel. Dundukari took all the money from selling the golden rings, you know, of his own mother, and he spent it on wine and prostitutes. He became so absolutely licentious that he had, we have ladies, we cannot talk so strongly, but he had relationships with five at the same time. But what he did, I don't know, and I don't want to know. So the ladies became a little bit concerned. He's so wild. The king will hear about him. He will come and send his men to capture him. And if we are seen with him, we also are captured. So one day when Dundukari was sleeping on his bed, they tied him to the bed. And they took knives to cut his throat. But somehow he had an almost leathery skin here. The knives did not penetrate. He was screaming. I think they cut his tongue out so that he wouldn't scream, but he continued to make sounds, so that finally they took a burning log of wood and just pushed it in the mouth. I hope no one of you is an expectant mother and has a quick birth now. So this was what was Dundukari's end. He died and he became a ghost who stayed around this house. After a long time, his brother, what was his name again? Gokarna, yes, right, who had been on a pilgrimage, came back and saw a deserted house. He heard from the neighbors how his mother had found an end, and also heard about the death of Dundukari. And he decided to try to do something good for him. So he went into the house and spent a night. And sure enough, in the night and hours, when 12 turned into 1201, the brother turned up. Dundukari came in terrible disguises. He had horns on his head. He was a ghost now. And he tried to frighten Gokarna, but Gokarna said, "Dundukari, I'm very sad for you and what happened to you." So Dundukari saw his brother was not afraid, and then he fell before the feet of his brothers and said, "Brother, Jesht, you are my only connection with the living world. Please do something to liberate me from this condition." Gokarna said, "Yes, I will do, but I have no idea what. I will tell you next evening. I will make some inquiries." So in the morning, Gokarna read the Bhagavatam and prayed to Surya Narayan, the Lord and the Sun, "Is there anything we can do to save my brother?" And Surya Narayan said, "Sure, you have to read for 7 days the entire Bhagavatam. And he has to listen to it, and when he has heard it, he is free from his ghostly existence." By the way, when someone dies, in your family, and you are not sure if they can travel very safely to the next destination, then also Bhagavatam readings are done. You can contact the father of Gokrishna. He knows a group of very reliable brahmanas who can complete in 7 days the Bhagavatam and read it for the benefit of that person whom you want to give help after they have left their bodies. So the next evening, Gokarna waited for his brother to come, and the brother came and manifested himself. He looked so terrible, and Gokarna said, "You have to be there for 7 days and listen to the Bhagavatam. That will release you from your sinful life." So a Bhagavatam reading was arranged. The entire village was invited. There was a good Bhagavatam speaker who read the verses, and where it was difficult, gave some brief explanation. And after 7 days, something happened. Dundukari had stayed during the Bhagavatam recital in one bamboo bush, you know, where the bamboos grew. And on the seventh day, whoosh, the bamboo burst and he came out. But how did he look? He had a beautiful spiritual body. And there was for him a Vimana, a transcendental aircraft, that was ready to take him. All the people in the audience did something which I would also have done. They screamed, "No! We were also in the Bhagavatam lecture. Why is Dundukari, who was so sinful, released from his material life and goes back home, back to Godhead? Why not we?" And the answer which was given was simple. The Vishnu Dutas, the servants of Vishnu, supplied the answers. They said, "Dundukari has listened with undivided attention because he knew his life was on the line. But you have thought about the crops, about the calf who goes astray." You know, they were mostly farmers, and your attention was not undivided. So this is something which you need, my dear devotees. You need to have a full attention. Please don't think that your notes will save you at the point of death. It's nice to take notes, but you have to bring it here. I also always think, what I have on paper that I have. No, you only have, if you take notes, it says, review your notes within 42 hours. 48 hours. Then they can stick, no? Read them within 48 hours, and then they stick to the brain. But more than that is, be very attentive when you hear the Bhagavatam, and it will stick with you, it will be glued on your heart. Hare Krishna. So this is my little lecture for you. Who of you has the Bhagavatam? And who of you has already opened the plastic cover of the Bhagavatam? Yeah, a little less. Good. I think Buddha Vavana's Bhagavatam is without plastic cover. All of them have been opened and read, no? Yeah? Once I gave a lecture, it was a typical ISKCON congregation in Silicon Valley, and there they all distribute sets of Bhagavatam doing Bhadra Punim. And I said, "So who has a Bhagavatam set?" And everyone went like this. Then I asked, "Who has freed the poor Bhagavatam from the plastic cover?" You know, how do they call this? The wrapping, plastic wrapping. And I don't know if an Indian can blush, but it was something like blushing, you know. The skin became significantly darker. So, yes, the knowledge should not stand out there. It should go in our heart, and therefore this recommendation is given. 3 steps, we should hear, we should reflect, and we should apply. So, I want to see, now, are there questions? I see you. Your good name, please?
Chinmay.
Hare Krishna.
Radha and Radharani and a friend were being jalakated in the water.
And what stood out to me was the way you were describing his movements, mm-hmm. how they were moving the water around and playing with the water. And what I was trying to get my head around is how does one get to the level of relishing actions like that? I mean, I understand at a basic level, those pastimes are transcendental and they're all material things, but how does one get to that platform where you take such pleasure in such actions? Does that just come with time and as the progresses, or is that a mindset change? Is there anything that you could have some
comment? Yeah. Well, there is a rule. You are interested in someone's activity when you love them. You want to know, what do they do at this time? How do they live? Where do they live? You ask, can I have your address? Perhaps I might send a bouquet of roses. So you are interested. So the question really is, how do you become interested or in love with Radha and Krishna? And here are three ways in which you can increase your attraction. The first is you surrender your ways. You get out of your own little world by doing an activity of surrender, like you go with a sacred street party, for instance, where you distribute literature and you surrender. Maybe you clean the temple of Bhaktivedanta Mena. You're usually perhaps in your real life you're a highly intelligent computer programmer, but you surrender. The second thing, how you can come closer to Radha and Krishna, is you serve the devotees who are established in truth, the truthful devotees. Who are really devotees, whose heart is attracted to Radha and Krishna, then some of their attraction will come usually to you. Prabhupada once asked us, how do you become a good chanter? And then he gave the answer, in the same way how you become a drinker. You associate with drunkards, and they will say, "Boah, this booze is boozy woozy. You better take it, otherwise half of your life is in vain." And as you associate with the drunkards, you will take to their ways automatically, because they will share their ways with you, they will share items with you, and so on. And you will also become interested. So, serving those devotees who are established in truth, and the next is you just continue to hear more and more about Radha and Krishna's pastime. Very often I have noted, when I tell those pastimes, and there is a very gross non-devotee audience, you would call them grubi osabas, you know, they're very cross, grubi. They can't deal with this. You would have to tell them stories of Krishna, how he finishes the demons. Wow, some action and some blood. We can relate to this, no? But Krishna's confidential pastimes are not easy to be related to by people whose heart is impure. So these three things purify your heart so that you become attracted to Krishna. Yes, you surrendered, you don't have it all only your own way, you do things really out of your comfort zone. just for Krishna's pleasure. You serve the devotees who are established in truth, and finally you increase your chanting and hearing of Krishna's pastimes. Also, Chinmoy, if you like someone, you will automatically inquire. Automatically. I remember when the... Do you know Pandavasenas? Have you heard about the... when the Pandavasena organization were young, the members were also a little younger. And I remember when they came to the... to Singhachalam, our farm in Germany, the organizers had scheduled the time such that I would be giving personal consultations to the ladies and the men. And you know what I found out? The men were all thinking about relationships. How can I impress a good a lady? And the ladies were mostly thinking about marriage question, you know. And I could see at that time that was the main subject matter. Perhaps also the main reason to do the Pandavasena trips. You know, because the interest was there. So in the same way, all of us have already invested our interest in certain subject matters. And for only a very few of us, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are of prime importance. But, Chinmoyji, the Lord has appeared to perform his very attractive pastime so that we would turn our attention from matter back to Krishna. Yes?
My question was that you mentioned the ISA formula to help.
Yes.
But when we have times of difficulty materially in our life and we can feel a bit disappointed with life, some of those things might be affected. Have you got any advice on how you can continue to do those things?
Yeah. Yeah, when there are difficulties, they tend to overwhelm us. And all we think about is these difficulties. I know this. So this is what you can do. First of all, don't run away from these problematic thoughts. Go to them, face them, acknowledge them. If you try to repress them, they will come out here and there and everywhere. Just go into it. Okay, I'm disturbed because of this situation. I'm afraid to lose my job because this year already five people were released from their job. There is a clear indication that they reduce the working force, so I'm a little afraid because my skills are in an area that is not so much needed any longer. Artificial intelligence takes over this area. So let us say like this. So go into this anxiety, look at it, and then after you have acknowledged it, acknowledged that it is there, acknowledged your feelings who are getting upset, then you can go to the second step. And that is, you put them in on a parking place. I have a big parking place, and the heading before the parking place is later. I will come back to this later. And now is my time for chanting, and then you focus on the chanting and so on. But this will only work when you have acknowledge the problem and not suppress it like we are usually doing in our life. I don't look there. I want to now escape into a good chanting session. It usually doesn't work because our human mind is not like this. Yes, I will have to. Yes, please, Prabhu. Your good name again?
Krishna.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It's a, I have a question about the story about George Kari.
Dondukari? Dondukari, yes.
So he had a dark past and suffered deeply. And I'm assuming he had the reason to listen to really get out from his ghost.
Yeah.
And attain that spiritual body that others didn't. My question is, how can we have that undivided attention?
Yeah.
Should we pray that we are really like deluded in this body?
There are two ways in which you can have this undivided attention. First, you have, first, if you can develop an urgent need, you know, an understanding why you urgently need this. But this is not always possible. Undivided attention is given when you absolutely need this. I want to give you an example. I'm traveling so much, and the most boring thing can be turned into the most interesting thing by an urgent need. Let me give you an example. If I need to go to an address, I need precise directions. So when the time really gets late and I cannot waste any minute, I say, okay, so how do we get there? Straight. Mm-hmm. Then first turn right. When is the first turn? Is it coming after 500 meters? After 1 kilometer. Okay, thank you. Then right. Then straight until when? Until the old school. Okay, old school. Then what do I do when I reach the old school? Well, you say I'm go right, but where right? Is there a street or is there a way? You know, it get when I need to go there, I have to really pay full attention and make even notes of this because I have an urgent need. My friend is there; he has made dinner, and I should reach there before it's cold, and so on. So also. You must create in yourself an urgency to become Krishna conscious. I need it. Then you will, all the information which you get from the books will be of utmost interest. The second most boring literature in the world for me are cooking recipes. But when I'm hungry, they get place number one. Because I have an urgent need. So you need to create a need in you by becoming more aware of your situation. Krishna, you are a soul in a material body, you are moving on the road of your karma, you better get moving, you know, in your spiritual life. This is the way you can develop a burning attraction. But there is a second way. That is, wait until material nature punishes you. And then when you're down and out and on the ground, you say, can I read a Bhagavad Gita, please? You know. Better is you create that need before you get the clap on the head. Hare Krishna. Good. Yes, your good name again?
Sakshi.
Sakshi. Wonderful, Sakshi.
Maharaj, you touched on the topic of reflection. And obviously after a retreat like this, we have a lot of notes, a lot of knowledge we receive. But it can sometimes be quite hard to reflect, like, just
put
the notes, but just read them. Do you have any advice on how to reflect?
Yeah, you need prompts, no? And therefore notes is very good. I think what I do after each retreat, I'm also a copious note taker. I look at them after the retreat, and usually I find two things or one thing stands out for me, and that's what I do. In other words, it's most unlikely that we become influenced by each single note or information. But when you read after some time, there are two or three things, it depends, you know, which stand out for you, and then you want to do it. Reflection. Reflection, Sakshi, is I do it by asking myself one question. What does this mean for my life? What I've just heard. How does this relate to my life? And then I'm reflecting. I'm reading at the moment a book which has really amazing information, and I asked myself, it's a Sanskrit work, how does this text relate to my life? And then I reflect and come up with very, very nice thoughts. Sakshi, why not make it a habit in your life to reflect? What I would suggest to you is, do you have friends who are also at the retreat here? Why don't you go most probably you go home in the same arrangement, travel arrangement, you can say, okay, let's reflect what stuck to me when I was at the retreat. I do this with my group. I'm in a member of one Sharanagati group. We call ourselves Sharanagati. After each program which we had, each location where we went, when we are by ourselves, we asked, okay, what struck you? And I reflect a lot when I'm with this group, because usually something else stuck with them. Mm-hmm. Yes? Yeah, or maybe for a change, yes? Yes, please speak.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Do you suggest the quality?
The problem is, once you are initiated, or when you take initiation, you give a vow of 16 rounds. So yes, somehow when you have given this vow, you should do them no matter how they are. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a tip how we can start to chant our good rounds. And I think this is also relevant for those who already chant 16 rounds. What he says, in the beginning, initially, the sadhaka should chant a very small quantity with focus. Where he says alpa, there are words in Bengali, alpa, very, very small quantity. I think he speaks of one round, two rounds, or four rounds, but not more. Then you chant this with then you make sure that you chant this with focus. And if you learn to chant in this matter, you can steadily increase your number of rounds to the desired amount. This is how one chants. The problem which I see in our Hare Krishna movement is because everyone wants to quickly be initiated, and if you're not initiated, you're not part of the group, then they somehow learn to chant the rounds, not learn to chant, they chant their 16 rounds so that they are qualified, and the Mana Initiation Committee gives them a recommendation, but they have never learned to chant properly. And you can see what is the quality of most of the rounds that are chanted. And what happens when there is a poor quality over a long time, the devotees are committing offenses and doing it wrong and lose all the taste and then make compromises and don't chant the 16 rounds. This is the result of this quantity over quality philosophy. It is not in the scriptures, it's not in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, it is only there because we think first initiation, that's how everything starts. This is wrong. But that's the narrative in ISKCON. What is now to be done with those who have given their vows to chant 16 rounds, who are initiated? My suggestion is, if you feel you need a japa reform, make sure that you chant 4 rounds with absolute good quality in the morning, and you will see, because after some time you will absolutely like this, the quality will go to your other rounds. That's how I have done my holy name reform when I needed to do some, when I saw I needed to do something. I could distinctly see that my rounds were not really devotional rounds. They were just rounds to get the job done. And then what I did, I had given my vow to Prabhupada 16 rounds, so I have to do that. But I started to make an arrangement that my first rounds were done sitting, focused, seeing the Lord's picture, collecting my mind, getting in the right mindset, chanting, and then it has increased. Hare Krishna. Yes, our Prabhu is there, and we will need to close with your last question. Please, your good name again.
Sachin.
Nectar. My name is Sachinandan. nice to meet you.
I had a question. I've been reading The Living Name recently, and one thing that really touched me that kept coming up was the prayers, and especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers. But I think something didn't quite click, and just for me, which was that I read these prayers and they touch something in me, but then I read them and I feel like I'm so far off having like an attitude that he has when he prays his prayers, like cultivating begging. So my question is, how do you read prayers from acharyas and cultivate the same attitude of begging that they have when you feel so far off?
Did you feel discouraged?
No.
No, good. Good. You can read these in two ways. One way, the prayers, is where you say, well, these are the elevated souls. They pray like this. Wow, I really admire them and aspire to come one day to the level which they are living and so on. That's the first way to read. And I must say, I read prayers normally which I can relate to, which can be my own prayer. That is the second way. So those prayers which are too high for you to emulate at the present moment, you just read them with appreciating the purities of the great acharyas. But you should also look for prayers that are on your level, where you can say, every word could be my word. Hare Krishna. Sachin. My dear devotees, I want to thank you very much for being in attendance. I see there's a little restlessness today in my audience because I think you must pack, isn't it?
Tomorrow.
Then it's tiredness, which I notice, no? And so I thank you very much. You were not the most awake audience I ever had, but you tried. Hare Krishna, and it was a pleasure to spend time with you. And here is our talented announcer who will ask us that we should make a round of applause, most probably, isn't it?
Yeah. Enthusiasm, wake up and give Marge a huge loud report. Yeah.